Kumlan Rablak Gemara, Rav Shach Memzayin, Amar Aleph, we're continuing and concluding this section of the laws of Muktzah. The last thing we learned was, we brought down of Rav Nachman's case. We talked about the idea of a basis, the davar asur, something is, even though like a frying pan is totally mutter, but if you had a basket, if you have a stone, a rock in the basket, then the basket becomes buckled to the rock, becomes a basis, the davar asur, and it's asur. But if you have inside the basket mutter, and so you have fruits and a rock, then it's all right. Then we brought Rav Nachman, and we brought Rav Nachman to show that ashes sometimes also can be not mukzah, but a mutadik away. So he talks about a copper keli that you're allowed to move it together with, even though there are ashes there, because ashes were set aside before Shabbat for a purpose to cover saliva, spit, or other things, dirt on the ground, and you're going to put them, you know, cover them with ashes, and then it's not mukzah. And he said, even though there are broken twigs in there, which are muktzah, it becomes a basis from mutter and asa, and it's all permitted. So that's where we stopped yesterday. Now we're going to analyze for a minute of Nachman's halacha. Basically, we're going to ask a question of Nachman, Vishavi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, who generally argue regarding muktzah. They both agree regarding the candle. They both agree. She'im yesh ba. We talk about an old candle, but Rabbi Yehuda says it's muktzah machas mias, even though it's not working now. Rabbi Shimon is moida while it's burning, if we had the last few days, either because of buses or so on, or you might extinguish it. But just doesn't agree with the concept of muktzah machas mias. Once the fire is out, he says you're allowed to move the candlestick. But they all agree. She'im yesh ba, inside the candlestick, inside the candle holder, there's shivrei psila, broken pieces of the wick, which has no use whatsoever. So it's muktzah machas gufay. So now that the candle holder became a basis for this broken wicks, she'asa l'talkin, you're not allowed to move them around. Now l'chayda, why can't you move them around? So there's oil in there, and it's broken wick. So it's a basis l'davar heter and davar iser, so why should it be asa? You just said on Nachman that something's a basis for heter, and it's all mutter. Says but Amr Abaye says, b'galil shanu. We're talking about the Galil. The way Rashi learns in the Galil, they couldn't afford linen. So the wick that was made out of linen is actually very costly. And therefore, because the iser over here, it far outweighs the little heta that's there. The oil is not that expensive. And the wicks, the leftover wicks, are so choshev. And that is asa now. So it became primarily a basis ledover asa. Which means that if you have a dover asa, which is very significant, a dover mutter, which is not so significant, then you can maybe say it's not considered a basis for dover asa. And for a dover mutter, it's primarily a basis dover asa. And others learn that the pshat is not that the linen is so expensive, like Rashi learned, but that the oil is so insignificant there because there's such a surplus of oil. Like today, when they're trying to give the oil back, and oil, you know, we're talking about negative numbers today because nobody wants the oil; they don't know what to do with it. So it has no value, very little value. So not that psila is so expensive, but rather the oil is so insignificant. So it became like a boss of the davar also. The Gemara continues. Levi bar Shmuel, continuing Muktzah. Levi, the son of Shmuel, Ashkachino, once encountered Rab Abba, Rab Huna Barchi. He found Rab Abba, Rab Huna Barchi. They were standing at Pischel Rab Huna. They were standing at the door of Rab Huna. And Omaluhu, and he asked them, Levi asked them, Ma'u lahach zemita shal tarsim b'Shabbos. A bed for tarsim. These are people who basically make copper, melt down copper, or maybe weavers. And they go from city to city, and they have these beds that are made up of parts, and then every time they go somewhere, they put it together and they display their wares. So they take it apart, put it together, take it apart, put it together. And the question is, are you allowed to put it together on Shabbos? Omrulay, they said, Shabbat dummy, no issue whatsoever. You're allowed to. Now, just before we go to your mother, just to understand, there's two, when you put something together, there's two ways to put it together. One is you put it together very tightly, like in a permanent way, and that could be called makah b'patish. There's a big machlekes if there's a concept of building when it comes to kelim. In halacha we say ein binyan mistir b'kelim, but there's an inyan of makah b'patish. So when you put something together very tight, you're a makah b'patish, you finish the work. But if you put it together loose, and that's what we're talking about here, if you put it together loosely, are we gazed in, you know, in the certain cases that maybe next time you put it together tightly, it's asa. So they told him, as the way in the text explained, we're talking about loosely and shapadam, no problem. We're not going to be gazed. Also, the comment when he came to Rabbi Yehuda, Omar, when he came before Rabbi Yehuda and asked the same question, and he must have told them, because you're not going to ask another Rav the same question unless you tell them first, as Taisa said there in Nida and Chul, that in Brachas we had the Gemara, he told them that the other Rabbanim already asked, and this is what they ruled. And they said that Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda said, Rav Shmuel both said, Hamach zeh mita shel tarsi b'shabbos chayv chatas. If you put it together, you chayv chatas. Now that's talking about if you put it together tightly. So what he's trying to say is, since if you put it together tightly, it's chayv chatas. If you put it together loosely, it makes sense to ask it at midrabon. And that's why in many poskim hold, when it comes to a puzzle, you're allowed to put it together as far as binyan is concerned, or as far as makom patish, because it's as we'll soon see, it's actually meant to be taken apart and put together and taken apart. So it's different than something that you normally put together and stays there for a long time. Okay, Mace, we asked a question. Others want to say maybe it dabbles in the idea of boyer. Others want to say another question. If somebody puts together the branches of a menorah on Shabbos, a number of branches, and you take them off, you don't need, let's say, 12 branches, you only need 6, so you know, either come off or not. So if you put them back together on Shabbos, chayiv chatas, you are chayiv chatas. These are people who are like painters, plasterers. So they have to put plaster on top of the wall, the bottom of the wall, so they have the stick. They put a shmat at the end of the stick and they smear the plaster or flatten it and smooth it out all over the wall. So they add parts to that stick depending how high they have to go. So if you put together the Kenei Sayyadin, Layazad, you shouldn't do that on Shabbat, but Bimhech the Potter Avalasad. But if you put it together, it is Potter Avalasad. Why? Because anyway, you're about to dismantle. You take it on, you get off all the time, and it's Potter Avalasad. Because next time you might put it together. So we see clearly to me, we are geyser, that even though you put it in loose, we're geyser because next time you might put it in tight. So it's a question. Says the Gemara, Reb Simoy Amar, before we get an answer, Reb Simoy, he says, Keren Agulam, some kind of musical instrument full of holes, like a sieve, and you can put in there like a little flute, and it makes all different kinds of sounds. So if it's rounded holes, whatever you put into the cover, you know, you cover certain holes and certain holes you leave open. Those that you cover, because it's round, it sort of fits in exactly, it's much more permanent. And you have to put a lot of strength in it. And that's considered malacha, like a mako patish. But if it's just a straight square thing, it easily slips in and out, then it's a ken lagul l'chayiv chatzos, because it's tight, snug. And ken pshut is pater midahat ma'teide, but it's awesome rabban. So it's a question on Rabchia and Rav Huna. It's an Abba Rav Huna, because you said before that, that if it's loose, it's not a problem. So they answer, in Domba, they hold Kahaitana. They hold like the following Tana, the Tana we learned, Milavna is Hamita. They used to have on the beds, like we have coasters, so they used to have little legs that slip into the bigger legs so that the big legs of the bed do not sink into the ground, they don't get full of mud and they rot over time. It's these little legs that continue, you know, you can always replace them. So the Milavna is Hamita, these tiny legs that are receptacles to the bed legs, the kares hamita, and the bed legs themselves, the levachim shol sekivim, that this is a wooden piece that you have the bow and arrow, that you use the wooden part of the bow to pull back the arrow and let it go, that the arrow goes against, lo yachse, you shouldn't put them back together, you have the potter, aval osa, but if you put them back, it's mitzvah osa l'rabbam, the lo yitoka. And if so, in other words, this Tana holds, there's an Issa the Rabban. Lo yib taka, don't put it tightly, vim taka. If you did put it tightly, chayv chatas, you're chayv chatas. But Rab Shimon Gamliel Aymer, im hayarafu mutter, if it's loose, you're allowed to. And these two Amorayim, paskin like Rab Shimon Gamliel. That if it's loose, we're not going to be gezer and you're allowed to. And that's the halacha, because, as we'll see in a minute, Rabba paskins this way also. Says the Gemara, in the house of Rav Chama, they had a mitzvah galanisa. They had like this bed, galil, which is like the mitzvah of tarsim. You put together and you take it apart. On Yom Tov, he's putting it back together. So this Rav said to Rav, my daiter, what do you think? Binyamin Atzadu? What do you think? That the way you're putting it back together is because it's not tight, so therefore you're not doing it the normal way. It's like tilkul min atzad bin, it's like a shinui. And therefore, because it's loose, allowed to. And he did so the nice elect, he said, Rabban Miyaka, but it should be awesome the Rabban. Because next time you might do it tightly. Amale, anok Rashbag Sridli. We follow Rashbag. The Omar and the Rashbag says, Im ha'yarofu muta, that if it was loose, you're allowed to. So we see clearly from here that that's the halacha. But if it's loose, you're allowed to put together again. As far as binyan is concerned, or makah, or patches is concerned, especially it's meant to be taken apart and put together all the time. Says the Gemara, next Mishnah. Completing the law of the Muktzah now, noisin kli tachas an egg. We already had this Mishnah previously when we were having the whole discussion of Chizah there about the egg that fell down the slope and were covering an egg on Shabbos. Noisin kli tachas an egg. You're allowed to put a keli underneath a candle, the kabel, the tzutzah, so that any sparks fly about will land in this candle, in this cup. La yitin l'techemayim. We're talking about an empty cup, so it catches all the sparks, and nothing catches a fire. But you should not place water inside the cup. We'll soon see that's talking about even on a Friday, mipnei shemechabe, because it extinguishes the fire. If you did it on a Friday, what's the problem? We'll see in a minute. Says the Gemara v'akamavakel kli mehechonon. By placing there a keli on Shabbos to catch the sparks, you are canceling that keli's use anymore, because now that it's going to accept muktzah, you can no longer take it away. So it's like baina, you put it there permanently, or it's like sois if you take it away from there. And therefore, we have three different opinions before the Gemara, what's going on over there. And one of them was, because Mevatel keli mechon, Rabbi Yitzchok said, you're not allowed to move a keli for something which is muktzah. But we had Rabbi Yosef who said, that it's mevatel keli mechana. You took a keli that was usable, and now you made it so you sort of built it into the ground because you can't move it, or if you'd ever move it, you'd be soisim. And here's clearly that you're allowed to put a keli there to catch the sparks. The spark, by the time it lands in the cup, it sort of dies straight away, so therefore there's nothing there. The keli is not really holding any muktzah inside the keli. Then he said, don't put water in there because you are extinguishing. Lema, it seems that what? So right now we're understanding you're putting the cup there on Shabbos. And then a spark falls in there. Now you didn't extinguish it because it fell on its own. You caused it to be extinguished. That's called Gram Kibui. And it seems in the Mishnah that we don't allow you to put the cup there because Gram Kibui is also. So Lema, Tanan, Stomach, Rabbi Yosi. Our Mishnah rules like Rabbi Yosi. That said, it talks about over there, there's a fire and you want to make a blockade or something, or a partition so the fire shouldn't spread. So you're allowed to put a whole bunch of vessels there to hold the fire back. And the question is, can you put vessels that have water inside there? So the Tanakhama says yes, because even if the water then will extinguish the fire, you didn't do it. It happened by itself. You only caused it because you put the cups with the water there, and then the fire burst the cup and the water came pouring out on its own. But Rabbi Yehi says, if it's an earthenware, you're not allowed to. Why? Because they burst very quickly, and it's gram kibbe. So the our Mishnah will agree with Rabbi Yosef. The Amma gram kibbe, goyim kibbe us. The Tzibur Gemara says no. Aim of Rabbi Yosef. When does Rabbi Yosef say that you're not allowed to put these vessels on Shabbos? The Erev Shabbos me aman. But the Erev Shabbos, of course, Rabbi Yosef holds. If you see a fire coming, you're allowed to put these vessels on Erev Shabbos. But our Mishnah is talking about even Erev Shabbos. So obviously, our Mishnah is totally unrelated to Rabbi Yosef. So what is it? Who said on Mishnah about Erev Shabbos? Maybe on Mishnah Taka is talking about on Shabbos, don't put a cup with water there, a saucer with water, to catch all the sparks. But I'll tell you why. Could we have a Braisa commenting on this Mishnah? But the Braisa, it says they clearly, noisnin kli tachas, and you're allowed to put an empty cup saucer under a candle, the kabel, the tzutzas, to catch all the sparks, even on Shabbos. But ain't tzorech lem, I don't have to tell you that the Erev Shabbos. Of course you can put it in Erev Shabbos. Put a tray there to catch all the sparks. But on the other hand, v'lo yiten l'toichemayim, do not place any water there, mipnei shu mechabe, because you're extinguishing, even Erev Shabbos. Even Erev Shabbos you can't. We'll see in a minute why not. They ain't tzorech lem v'Shabbos. And surely on Shabbos not allowed to. So what's going on here? Why can't you put Friday a cup there with water to catch the sparks? You're allowed to put a pot, leave a pot in the fire. You cook on Shabbos. You're allowed to do all these things, poiskim mayim again, all those dinim we had in the first Pedig. So why can't you put a cup, a saucer with water there to catch all the sparks and extinguish it? You did it on Friday. He said the reason is, Ella Amar Rabashi says, Nafilu Teimer Rabban, Shiny Hocha, here's different. Neshime Karaves Kibuyov. Because you're bringing close forward the extinguishments. Big machlek is harulim shot. So Rashi lim shot is, in the case of the fire, and you put there a vessel that's sealed or closed, and water inside. What happens is the fire first bursts the keli, and then the water comes out. So you're basically a cause. There's something in between, and it's like two steps away. Over here, as soon as the spark lands in the saucer, the water extinguishes it. So therefore, it's much stronger than just gram. And that's why it's usher even on Friday. So therefore, we're goyzer it on Friday because maybe next time you'll do it on Shabbos. Taisus learns the pshat is
that what we're worried about here is that what we're worried about here is by the water over there, you put it on the ground and it happens. Over here, we're worried that maybe if you put water on Shabbos while you're pouring the water into the cup, a spark will fall in, and looks like it, therefore it's like we did be a dying because you're pouring the water and the spark then lands while you're pouring and it extinguishes. So it's not gram; you actually extinguished it. Or you might move the cup while you're pouring the water, moving the cup closer, so when you pick the cup up, you're now catching the fire earlier than we're supposed to. So again, you are actually mechabed. So Tesis then asks the same question, and the other Rishonim asks, so how come you're allowed to leave a pot on the fire even though it's not fully cooked? And we're not worried that you'll do an Easter on Shabbos of cooking it, whatever, and yet here we're worried, don't do it on Friday because you might then do on Shabbos, if you pour water on Shabbos, you know, you'll be doing kibbutz. But we're talking about Friday. So Tesis explains.
Could I ask, isn't it very different? Because when you put the pot on the stove, it has to become achbed soy. It's already cooked. And then some threitens, you have to be cover the gecholim with sand, or we put a blast. And the difference with the keli is you're putting it on Erev Shabbos with a kavana that you know on Shabbos when a spark will fly, it's going to extinguish on Shabbos.
Okay.
Your whole intention is that the kibbutz should be on Shabbos.
Okay, for example, we learned before you're allowed to soak, you're allowed to put in, dye into the water for Shabbos, even cooking. You're allowed to put it raw onto the fire, and you want it to cook, that's why you put it on the fire. And yet we're not geyser that if you're going to put it on Friday, or even Meichel ben Nesoy, it's only halfway cooked or a third way cooked. And even
Meichel ben Nesoy... It's on the fire because you have to cover the gechol.
No, you don't. Not if you're leaving it on once it's Meichel ben Nesoy. The only reason why you have a cover then is what we pass in halacha is for chazara, for putting it back. If you had no intention of putting something back on Shabbos, you don't need a blech if it's Meichel ben Nesoy at all. I mean, that's how Ashkenazim pass it. Not at all. Once it's halfway cooked, we don't need a blech. The only reason why we have a blech is if, in case you want to put something back on the fire. Otherwise, you don't need a blech at all. So, according to Ashkenazim, the Sfardin paskin like the Chacham. So, Tesis wants to know the differences. And Tesis answers, the differences are very simple. Over there, everyone knows turning on a fire on Shabbos or cooking on Shabbos is Isum HaTeirah. So, therefore, it's only a small chash, you might forget yourself. If it's halfway cooked, whatever, we're not worried. Over here, what you're doing, you don't realize you're doing a melacha d'raisa. When you're pouring the water, you don't think, oh, a spark might fall in, poof, v'shas maisa, I'm pouring the water in, and I'll be doing a melacha d'raisa. Because people don't realize they're going to be doing an isa d'raisa, they're not so careful. That's why we're more worried with a saucer with water than a saucer on Friday. And why saucer on Friday can't put in either, because people don't realize that doing it on Shabbos is a problem. But cooking, if we allow you to cook on Friday, nobody's going to think, oh, if I can put a pot on the stove on Friday, I can also do it on Shabbos. Everyone knows it's an Issa D'Raisa. So we know no reason to make a Gzeda there. Okay? Make sense? Hadin Aloch Kira. This completes the sugya of Muktzah and Kira. Now we continue by Metanin. According to the Rishonim, how they learn Rashi, even though Rashi says Sohorim said clearly, but they all learn this way, Rishonim Rashi, that Bamet Tainin, and what we learned before about Kira, leaving something on the fire, Shia, is exactly the same Gzera. Hatmana. Now let me just quickly tell you, Hatmana means hiding or storing something, and there's two kinds of Hatmana. There's Hatmana, we already had a little bit before, taste of it before. There's Hatmana Bedover HaMoisiv Hevel, and there's Hatmana Bedover She'ei Moisiv Hevel. You put something inside ashes, it increases the heat. That's called Hatmana B'dover Shehei Moisiv Hevel, and that you're not allowed to even do on a Friday. We had the Gemara before, we had a Machlik Yisharim Halun Gemara before, but we had the Gemara before, you're not allowed to do that because we're worried that you might hide it into ashes, and then on Shabbos, you will play around with the ashes to make the fire bigger. Then we had, but on a towel, for example, which is Mimatman Dover Shehei Moisiv Hevel, you can do it on a Friday. But on Shabbos, you're not allowed to even be matman on a towel. Because we're scared that if you were going to put something in a towel on Shabbos, you might realize it's not hot enough, and you'll put it back on the fire for a couple of minutes on Shabbos, forgetting that it's Shabbos, in order to heat it up before you wrap it in the towel. Because the towel doesn't increase any heat, you need it to be hot before you put it in the towel. In the other one, in Mois of Hevel, you're not so worried about that, because it's Mois of Hevel, it'll make it hotter. We're more worried about while it's in there, you're going to play around with the fire. Now, if you remember that leaving something on the stove before Shabbos, we worry about Shem Yechati, you might choke the coal. So Rashi seems to be learning that Hatmana and Shia is very similar. But there's a big machlekes of Shainim, the definition of Hatmana. And in Shulchan Aruch, there's a big machlekes, and there the Rambam is very mekel. Is hatmana just if the bottom of the keli is sunk into the ashes? Is that what you call hatmana? It's not just sitting on top, suspended in the ear. Then, you know, the ear circulates, it shows that you don't want it to be that hot. But if you bury the bottom of the keli in the ashes, that's called hatmana. Or hatmana means it has to be completely covered on all sides, top, bottom, and all that. I told you that's why the whole machlek is the poskim regarding a crock pot, because the inner pot is sitting inside the outer pot, completely covered. You know, so that's what hatmana is. Rashi seems to be learning hatmana doesn't mean have to be fully covered. Vaharai, he says that she and hatmana is practically the same thing, and she is sitting on top of a stove. All the other Rishonim argue, even this little tiny text is at the beginning of this Perek, they say that no, because the laws are so different, it's quite obvious that hatmana and she are very different from each other, and the reason being that she is really basically most of it is suspended in the air, and therefore you don't really want it that hot. We're more worried about hatmana because hatmana means you're putting it in such a way that Rosh Hashanah learned that it's completely buried on all sides in heat. What are you trying to do? You really want it to be very, very hot. So it's much more of a chash. You're going to play around with the coal, even though it has a little bit of effect, but every little bit counts because you're trying to make it really hot. When it comes to Shia, the fire is only on the bottom. So you're not really trying to make it that hot. And if you're going to poke the coal a little bit, you're not really going to add that much to it. So therefore, we're less worried with Shia than we are worried with Hatmana. That's how most Rishonim learn. So now the Mishnah is going to tell us, Bameh Taimin or Bameh Ein Taimin. What can you do Hatmana? And what kind of products can you do Hatmana? And what kind of products? We're talking about what's the definition of a Meshiv Hevel, generates more heat. What kind of things generate heat you cannot put in, and what kind of things you allow to put in because it doesn't really generate more heat. It's like a towel, all does it preserves the heat. Ain't turning one thing for sure, you cannot do hatmana lebe gefes, which is again we had that's the residual pieces of an olive press, and there's a lot of oil there. Even though you took out a lot of the oil, it's still very, very hot. We'll see later, we'll have sesame seeds as well, we already had before, we'll have again, where it also retains a lot of heat, and therefore it's called meisiv hevel. The labor zevel, no fertilizer, labor melech, salt, the labor seed plaster, the labor chol, or sand, bein lach bein ration. These things doesn't matter whether they're moist or whether they're dry. When it's moist, it has more heat than when it's dry. But even when it's dry, these sand and all these things, they actually generate heat from themselves. They themselves generate heat, and therefore you're not allowed to do them even on Friday. Now, the labor tevin, you should not bury it in straw. The labor zugin, all the leftovers of vines, or after the grapes when you finish, or taking out all the cracking all the wine from them. The labor muchin, no cotton or soft wool. The labor asovin, or grass. When do these things generate heat? Only bizman shehein lachin. Only when they are moist, they generate heat. I will tame the behavior, but if you take it with a straw and they're dry, they don't generate heat, they just preserve the heat. And the same thing with the cotton, all that, they just preserve the heat. Okay, so think about it. First of all, the Mishnah says a gefes, which usually is for olives. It doesn't mean olives, avo de sumsum and shapadami, but if it's, let's say, if it would be sesame seeds, and once you took out all the oil from them, it's not as hot. So therefore, you're allowed to store in them, they don't regenerate heat. When it says a gefes, it means even from sesame seed. The choshkan zeisim, surely olives. Toshma coming in, we'll resolve this question first. Rabzeda said the name of somebody in Yeshiva, Rabbi Yanai, Kupa, the box. Shentoman ba. Let's say you put in the cotton or wool, and you stored in there a pot. Osul hanicha al gefa shel zaysim. You're not allowed to place this. Let's say you have a box, and you store something, a pot inside there. Then you want to put this on top of something else, which generates heat. And he says it clearly. What are we talking about? Gefes shel zaysin? Shema minash shel zaysin. Is that right? We're talking about zaysin? It's only olives that's considered moisiv hevel. Now, this is not a normal case of atmana. Here, you're not putting it directly inside the gefes. You're putting it into, let's say, a towel or something, or a box, you know, with cotton in it to keep, you know, the heat. But then you're putting it on top of something else, which is going to increase the heat and let the heat will come rise. And whatever heat, you know, gets attracted, it should preserve that. And there it says zaysin. So the Gemara says that doesn't prove anything because this is a totally different case. Maybe when it comes to direct hatmana, even if you put in sesame seeds, also. But the case you're talking about here is where you're increasing heat from the bottom. The zeisim maske havola, maybe in this case, because it's a bit distant, maybe olives only have the capacity to generate heat and send it upwards. But some people do not have that capacity. So therefore, maybe it's different. Says the Gemara, Rabba, Rab Zeda. So Rabbi Zeda, so Tesis has all the Rishonim have a whole discussion here. So you're not allowed to put something on top of something else that generates heat. So how can you leave something on a stove? They have a fire underneath, even if you put a blech there, and the heat rises. Isn't that a case of putting something on something else that generates heat? So how do we do that? There's a number of answers. He says in one answer is that in the case of the Zeisim, because a lot of times you would put it buried inside the Zeisim, therefore when it generates heat from the bottom, we're Geizer. Mashenk in a stove, you don't put things inside the fire of the stove, it's always on top of the stove. So therefore, there's no so it's more like a Gzeda, the way the first one Pshat takes it. He says, more like a Gzeda, that if you have Zeisim on the bottom, the reason why if the Meis of Hevel is not direct, it's on the bottom. What we're worried is because it's quite common to take it and put the whatever food it is inside whatever it is on the bottom generating the heat. So there's a Chshash. In the stove, there is no Chshash. And then another answer is, in our case, there's no Hatmana. Hatmana means it has to be covered on all the sides. In our case, in the stove, you know, it's away from the fire and there's a lot of space between the pot. And even if you put it inside the walls, so because there's a lot of space, it's not really Hatmana at all. It's a different case altogether. And apart from that, is that in our stoves, it's the fire itself that generates the heat and the fire slowly cools down. But the Gefes, when it comes to Hatmana, whatever it is, it itself continues to self-perpetuate. It generates its own heat. Okay. Anyway, let's continue. It says in Mara further, Rabbi Zeda once came to the house of the Reish Galusa in Bavel, Chazi, they saw Lahu Avda, they saw one of his servants, the Anach Kuza de Maya, he placed a jug of water, Apuma de Kumkuma, on top of an urn, of a hot urn. This jug of water they placed on top was actually cold water. And he placed it on top of the Kumkuma on Shabbos. Nazir Rabbi screamed at him. Rab Zeda said to him, one second, Maishnam and Mechem Agav and Mechem. We learned in the Braisa that you're allowed to put one hot urn on top of another hot urn on Shabbos. Amale, what are you talking about? Hosn over there, a Kumikamaikim. Over there, the top, you know, there's already hot water in both of them. So all you're doing is preserving it. Hocha Iludikamaikim. Here you're increasing the heat. Here you are increasing the heat. So therefore, you're not allowed to put it on. You're not allowed to put it on. Hadok, they were still standing there and watching. Chazir, they saw Raphim, they said, they saw the poras das tuder apume de kuva. They saw that this servant took out and spread out his kerchief that was on his head, and he used it to cover a barrel. And then va'anach notla layo, and he put this keli called notla that normally used to draw wine, and he put it on top of this kerchief. This is, by the way, Antilas Yadayim. One of the definitions of Antilas Yadayim is Antilas, I mean washing. Antilas means the keli that you use, which is this word here, notla. Nazir Rabba. Rabba screened him again. I'm a little upset. I don't understand why he's screaming here now. Amai. What's he doing wrong over here? He put the jug on top of the kerchief, which is on top of the barrel. Amalei, he said, Hashta Chazis. Just wait and see, and you'll understand why I screamed at him. The Seif, later on, the Chazis saw they come actually start to squeeze out, wring out the water that was in his kerchief, because he wanted to put it back in his head. So, and that is chit. Amalei, I don't understand. Maishnam de prunka. How is this any different than, you know, you have a special cover on barrels that you normally put on, and it's not a problem. You're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Amalei, the difference is very simple. Hasam le kapidolayo. Over there, when you put the permanent cover on the thing, that let's say the shmata that you always put on a barrel, that's what it's for. So therefore, if it's wet, you don't care. And why would you think that the person will end up doing chit? Here, this guy wears it on his head. It's a kerchief. He used it temporarily for this. Obviously, he wants to put it back on. So, obviously, he'll forget himself and he will ring it. So, therefore, I saw that happening, and that's why I, in anticipation, I tried to stop it. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.